With that, we're going to move to our sermon. And our scripture passage this morning is coming actually out of 1 John, which isn't necessarily one of your traditional Christmas texts, but this is where the Lord seemed to be leading me this last month when I was preparing what I was going to be preaching on for Christmas. So let's look at chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first six verses, but we're really focusing in here on verse 2. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we give you praise this morning for your word, for the encouragement that we have here, for the firm foundation that we can stand on, knowing your truth. Lord, we thank you that in your word you tell us how to recognize truth and discern falsehood. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for your Holy Spirit to be present here. I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I come and preach. Lord, that as I speak this morning and go through this text, Lord, might your truth come to the fore. Might your people here be encouraged and blessed. And most of all, Lord, might your name be lifted up and glorified. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I entitled this message, "Flesh of God." Sounds kind of creepy, maybe a little bit. And then we have some people who will tell us that the flesh is evil, it's bad. You know, haven't we said, you know, we Christianese, we have our own kind of little language. We say, you know, "I did that in the flesh." Well, that's because part of, we see that terminology in Scripture, which is talking about not that the flesh is bad, but that our sinful nature, which resides here, that's bad. But we have this idea that somehow humanity, being human in of itself, is evil, and that's just not the case. God came and lived a human life, and still lives. He was born as a baby. He didn't come full grown, but came as a small child. Why? To show his love for us. This is what the scripture tells us. Now, as we look here at this passage, we're reading in John today, say, what is John talking about? Why is he talking about these things? Well, you have to remember, when John wrote this, we're almost 60 years later. This is 60 years after the crucifixion and resurrection, approximately. That's a fair amount of time. A couple of you might even be over 60. Donna's not. But John was when he wrote this. Remember, he was just a young young man at the time. So he might be somewhere in the vicinity of late 70s, early 80s, as he's writing this. As he writes 1 John, he's actively combating a heresy that has come into the church. You see, Gnosticism had come in, which basically means secret learning or secret knowledge. And the Gnostic heresy was that the flesh is evil. It's bad. Therefore, God wouldn't have been flesh. It just looked like it was flesh. God just looked like he was a man. He really wasn't. And if he did come in to the flesh, the Christ presence left before the crucifixion. He wouldn't suffer the indignities of that. See, God really wasn't the man. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us that Jesus was indeed born, and that he did suffer all the temptations common unto man. We know that he laughed, and we know that he cried. We know that he suffered. We know he knew all spectrum of human emotion. He even knew what it was like to be abandoned. He knew the separation from God at the cross when our sin came upon him. But Gnostics were saying, no, no, the little baby, that whole thing. No, that. See, it was God came special and just came in. His presence came upon it and then left. That was just a vessel to be used, to be discarded when done. It was not, and it was not God. Gnostics also said that this was a secret knowledge, which they discerned themselves. It wasn't revealed to in God's Word. It was something which they were given specially, which you had to, you know, God told them separately and secretly. And then, of course, because they had the secret knowledge, they weren't bound by the same rules of accord for anybody else. They could behave however they desired, and that was okay. And nobody could hold them to account to it because they had the secret knowledge and they were of a higher level. This was the teachings of Gnosticism and what was going on. And people seemed to think that that was okay. It's not. And John wrote this letter to combat it. And he talked about the Antichrist, which were already in the world, he tells us here. He tells us how to discern them, that there's three tests. Now, we only see one test in this little part that we read, but throughout the whole book, he talks about righteous living, those who live rightly, those who love the brethren, and not just themselves, and then those who will proclaim the incarnation, that of the God-man, that Jesus was indeed and is indeed fully God and fully man. That wonder is a truth that John holds out and says, anybody who says anything different, they're not from God. That's not from the Holy Spirit. That's a lie. Now, do we see this in today's world, this Gnostic teaching? You think that maybe after close to 2,000 years we'd have shown the falsehood of it and that, but no, it just kind of hangs around. And this is very much the way the people of the world react today. You know, people, You want to know about God? Just seek within yourself that secret knowledge. It'll come to you. Then we have all sorts of people running around who feel that, you know, I'm not accountable to the rules. I can do whatever I want. And love of the brethren? No, it's always look out for number one. Look, what's in it for me? This has been what our society has grabbed a hold of and become part and parcel of what is taught in schools, and we see in our government, and we see in businesses around. But John was battling against it, saying that, test it and see. Test what those are saying. Are they proclaiming Jesus as alive, as having come in the flesh? And anyone who doesn't agree to that, who does not admit that Jesus is the God-man, who is the one who came in the flesh, that's not from God. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, between verse 22 and 42, we have Jesus speaking to the Jews, and he's first walking in the colonnade during the Feast of Dedication. And they ask him this question in verse 24. He said, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. In verse 28, he says, my Father has given this to me. It is greater than I. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many miracles from the Father. Which of these do you stone me? He said, we're not stoning you for any of these, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, it is written in the law, I have said you are gods. If he had called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what then about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy? Because I said, I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles that you may know and understand that the Father is me and I am in the Father. Later, we had people did two responses. They either picked up stones and attempted to kill Jesus, or they accepted and believed him and sought him out. Now, 60 years later, Paul's referring to this. When he says that he's come in the flesh, there is no doubt that Jesus is God. Nobody's disputing that within the letter. They're just saying that he's not really the God that they thought he was. That's not the Gnostic teaching. The Gnostic teaching is saying, that's not really God. So you got the wrong definition. You got the wrong understanding of who God is. What everybody said is wrong. And John's saying, no, no, no. You have to listen to what Jesus said and what the prophets said. What God speaks through them. Anyone who says that Jesus, the man, was not indeed God, they're lying. They're not from the Spirit. They're not from God. Anybody who tries to claim that Jesus didn't become fully man isn't speaking the truth. That's the spirit of falsehood. They went to stone Jesus because he made that statement. They said, "You're just a mere man." He's more than a mere man. Yes, he is a man, but he's also God. He's both. On Christmas, the day of Jesus' birth, what was the date? Was it December 25th? I don't know. I guarantee you it was a day. And we know it was cold enough that the shepherds, they like to hang out by the fire then. Beyond that, we can't tell you too much. But we picked this time of the year to celebrate Christmas, the coming of the Christ child, because he came in the flesh, real, true, honest, and experienced life as we do, so that he might be that sinless sacrifice, so that we don't have to live a life separate from the Father for all of eternity, but can be reconciled. That couldn't have happened without a flesh and blood sacrifice. A blood sacrifice is required. But it had to be sinless. It had to be willing. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was willing. He didn't want to, but because the Father asked him to, he submitted his will to the Father's. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And he did it for two reasons. One, to obey the Father, and two, because of his love for us. And that's why the Father sent him, because of his love for us. The lost, those whom he created to have fellowship with. He didn't want to just leave us lost. He wanted to bring us back into fellowship with him. When we look at this passage today, see, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is even now already in the world. The Christmas season has become about everything except the Christ child. It's about family. It's about goodwill. It's about buying stuff. And we forget it's about God coming to earth for the purpose of being a sinless sacrifice. He didn't just come without a purpose. He came with a distinct purpose, a reason. The reason was your sin and my sin, our sin. The sin of our grandfathers and grandmothers. The sin of our grandchildren. Our ancestors and our descendants. Ourselves. It's our sin that required God to come in the flesh. There are some places that call themselves churches that speak of Jesus as some mythical being. It's a mythos. It didn't really happen. There may have been somebody who walked around named Jesus, but, you know, everything they talked about, the miracles and being, you know, it's all just a story to help us to live better. We can learn something from us. This is, you know, the Bible, you know, it really isn't God's word. It's just something that, you know, we have found beneficial to sometimes refer to. You know, it's wisdom which has been gathered together over the ages by man all a bunch of hooey. I know that's a theological term that some of you don't know, but it means, okay? God's Word is real. Jesus the Christ is real. And anybody who wants to diminish that in any way, shape, or form is not speaking through the Holy Spirit, but is speaking through the spirit of the Antichrist, which is real and active. In seeking to get our focus on anything but this and that. The two are inseparable. And Christian, you cannot... The Christ child is of no use without the cross. And the cross cannot be without the Christ child. It's God's method of bringing us to salvation. And He didn't fob the job off on somebody else, but He came to earth Himself. Not for His benefit, but for ours. The passage tells us that we are from God and that we've overcome. Tell you what, I haven't overcome anything personally, but I have overcome because I have received Jesus. And He overcame. But it's real easy to get distracted in the world, isn't it? And let the enemy have victory where he's already lost. He's lost the war. But yet, these minor battles still occur. And those who are damaging them suffer real damage. And that's what we are living right now. Do not allow the spirit of the world place in your heart and life. But this Christmas season, proclaim the truth that God came incarnate in the Christ child. God became man because of His love for us so that we might appropriate His righteousness and live for Him. Might we speak this, live this, be this. Might the spirit of truth dwell in us and flow out from us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You for the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we thank You for coming to this earth as the child, the Christ, to live that sinless life, to show us how to be reconciled to the Father, and doing that hard work on the cross on our behalf of paying the price for our restoration, paying the penalty for our sins, that we could know the blessing of our Father in heaven for all of eternity. Lord, help us each one to shut our ears to the lies of the enemy in the world and to proclaim with power the truth from our lips and in our lives, the glory of the flesh of God, given as a sacrifice for the redemption of our sins and life everlasting. Amen. Let's stand as we close.